Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Today is the 10th of Muharram 1446 in South Africa, Makkah Mukarrama, Medina Munawwara, Masjid al-Aqsa. 80% of the world is experiencing the 11th of Muharram 1446. We welcome today Mufti Farhan Karani. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you,
Mana? Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. How is Mufti Saab doing? Mufti Saab, today is the 10th year in South Africa, as most of our listeners know. And here in South Africa, what pieces of advice can Mufti Saab share with us for today?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So, as you were saying, that today in South Africa, we are witnessing 10th of Muharram. Other parts of the world, it's already one day ahead, 11th of Muharram. So we're just going to touch on what is the significance of 10th of Muharram, and what should a person do, not do on this day, with regard from the Sunnah of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what is told to us to do and not to do. Because everything we do, it has to collaborate with the Quran and Sunnah. If it's not found in the Quran and Sunnah, then we are innovating things. We are practicing bid'ah, innovations. And on the day of Qiyamah, a person will come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the Hawdah Kawthar, to the well of Kawthar, and the malaika will chase him away, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam will ask, "This is my ummati, why are you chasing him away?" Then it will be told to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you don't know what these people did after your demise. They innovated things into the deen. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also chased him away. So do we want that to happen? No, obviously we don't want it to happen. We don't want to be amongst the Hasidim, the losers on the day of Qiyamah. So as fun and as nice it may seem to send messages of Ashura Mubarak and, welcoming the month of Muharram Mubarak, and it might seem nice, but what's wrong with it? There's nothing wrong with it. Okay? There is something wrong with it, because the Sahaba did not do it. The Sahaba did not do it. Our prior predecessors did not do it. Our Kabirin did not do it. So where did it come from? This Muharram Mubarak and Ashura Mubarak, it is not part of Islam. And so anything we innovate into the deen, it is a curse on us, because we are innovating something and then we're going to be deprived of the rahmat of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the day of Qiyamah. So before we send out messages, and it might seem exciting, we must first take a step back and think that what am I doing? Is it conforming with the Sunnah or not? Then, let us look at this month of Muharram. Muharram, the word Muharram comes from like Masjidul Haram, sacred, sanctity, a month of sanctity, the sacred month. And this is the first month of the Islamic calendar. So the month of Muharram was in the time of Jahiliyyah as well, but they used to change it and to make it suit themselves, the Mushrikeen of Makkah. So when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came, then he fixed the months in the proper order. Muharram stayed where it's supposed to be, and all the other months fell into place, because the Jahiliyyah, the Mushrikeen, they changed when it suited them to be Muharram, and they didn't have to fight in a war, they didn't want to fight, then they changed, no, this is Muharram now. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam changed it. And this Hijri calendar, when did this Hijri calendar start? It started with Umar radiallahu anhu, when he was the Khalifa in the 17th year after Hijri, when he wrote letters to the kings, and the one of the ministers or governors or kings, he said that, why don't you put a date the letters. So then he decided to have a mashwara with the senior sahaba, and then they decided that, so they gave different views. Some said from the birth of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we calculate the Hijri date. Some said no, from the death of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Umar said no, to both of them. Then the suggestion was made that from the year of Hijri. So in the year of Hijri, how it started is that the people used to come back from Hajj, and it used to take them about 2 weeks to get home from Makkah to Medina, traveling in the desert 2 weeks. for 14 days to get back to Medina. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the final Hajj, and when he came to that was in the 10th year after Hijri. The year that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made Hijra, it was in Rabiul Awwal. So the Umar said that the Hijri calendar would start from the year Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made Hijra, and that is where our Islamic Islamic date comes from. So yeah, now we are in the year 1446. So it is very important also, we'll come to the other points, inshallah. So it's very important that when we address letters to people, then we must start with the Hijri date first. First, we must, and how Nabi Sallam used to address letters, he used to address letters. First, he used to say Muhammad bin Abdullah or Muhammad Rasulullah. So Nabi Sallam used to start with his name. In English, the West teaches us to put the name last. You read the two-page letter, and then you see who sent you the letter. So in Islam, we put the name first on top, and thereafter we put the Islamic date, and thereafter at the bottom of that you can put the Gregorian date, the English date. So very important to first start the letter with the Islamic date. Many people they don't know what is the Islamic date unless it is Ramadan, or then you know what Islamic date. The rest of the year, nobody keeps track of the Islamic date. So it's very important to keep track of the Islamic date more than the English date, because everything in Islam revolves around the Islamic date. For example, when a person becomes baligh or baligha, it depends on the Islamic date, the date they were born Islamically, not on the English date. Otherwise, they will start reading Salah after they are already baligh, 6 months after. So we have to find out when were we born Islamically. And if we follow the Western date, then if a person says 15 years, then 15 years is already 14 years and 6 months Islamic. So if a person reaches Islamic 14 years and 6 months, already 15 years Islamically is already 14 years and 6 months English date. So we have to take this into consideration. Then with regard to what did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam advise us regarding this day? So when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to Medina Munawwara, he found the Yahud fasting on this day, day of Ashura. So he asked them, why are you fasting on this day? So they said that this day is a day that it's a very great day. Yawmun Azim, it's a great day for us. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked them, why is it a great day? So they said that Allah Ta'ala freed Musa Alayhi Salaam from Fir'aun on this day. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Musa Alayhi Salaam is closer to us than he is to you. So we should be celebrating this day. Mm-hmm. And now, what does it mean celebrating? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him, why are you fasting? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, we will also fast on this day. We will also fast on the 10th of Muharram. But in another narration, fast one day before or one day after. So the 9th and 10th, or either the 10th and 11th. So that was said in the year before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away. So the ruling still remains that you cannot fast alone on the 10th of Muharram, because that will be in relation with the Yahud. And the Yahud, they fast, I think, 24 hours or something. So we don't make the Tafrit Layat. So we fast from sunrise to sun, from Subha Sariq to sunset. So Nabi Fasam, in a different ahadith, says that fast on this day or don't fast. And the people of Jahiliyyah used to fast on this day, Tenth of Muharram. So there are many significances of this month, and this day of Tenth of Muharram. For example, Adam al-Islam was created on Tenth of Muharram, and he was sent down to earth on Tenth of Muharram, and Yunus al-Islam was freed from the belly of the fish on the Tenth of Muharram, and Nuh al-Islam was freed from the flood ended on the 10th of Muharram, and Qiyamah will take place on the 10th of Muharram on a Friday. So this day of Muharram, 10th of Muharram, is very significant for us Muslims. And then the Shias also believe that this is a very significant day for them, but it's all just doesn't even make sense. A person whom you killed, you celebrate the day that you killed him, and then you cry and wail and you stab yourself and you cut yourself with knives to say, no, we are mourning the death of Hussein radiallahu anhu. It's just foolish. And you killed the Shias, they killed Hussein radiallahu anh, and then they mourn as if, you know, they are real narcissists. They mourn as if they mourning the death of Hussein radiallahu anh, but they were actually like the killers of Hussein radiallahu anh, and so it doesn't even make sense. So anyway, what else did Nabi Sassan tell us regarding this day? Okay, so many people they give gifts, they exchange gifts on this day of Ashura. Now, is this part of the Sunnah? Right, now let us look at what the Hadith says, that tahabbu tahaddu, tahaddu tahabbu, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said the effect that give gifts, exchange gifts with each other, it will create love between you. Right? Now this does not apply specifically to the 10th of Muharram. Right? So people have taken this out of context and said, no, that this year applies only to the 10th of applies to the 10th of Muharram, that you must exchange gifts on the 10th of Muharram. If I'm wrong, you must correct me. But I haven't come across it yet. On the 10th of Muharram, you must exchange gifts from the Hadith. The Hadu Tahabu doesn't apply specifically to the 10th of Muharram. So any other time of the year, a person gives, somebody gave you a gift, then it is a sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to return the gift. Right? But not on specifically on the 10th of Muharram. Now, this has become a bid'ah, that on the 10th of Muharram, the family buys gifts for each other, and the exchange has now become like a Christmas affair. You know, like a Christmas affair, people giving, the Nasara giving gifts to each other. So this is not the way of Islam, to give gifts to each other. Now, what did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say regarding spending on this day? And to the effect, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Man wasa Allahu ala iyadihi, and wasa Allahu alayhi sa'ira sanati," or kama qala Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that whoever spends on his family on this day of Ashura, then Allah Ta'ala will grant him barakah and increase his wealth, his riz, throughout the entire year. Now, this has been witnessed by the muhaddithin and the mufassirin and the akabirin. They have seen this, they have witnessed this, that when they spend on the 10th of Muharram on their families, then they witness the barakah of, in their wealth and their riz throughout the entire year. So, spending on the family. Now, does it mean that you must go and max your credit card out and pay interest back to the bank? Must you go and take out all your savings and now go and just go on a wild spending spree? No, it is not what is then Muharram all about. Spend on your family means that what you normally spend on your family on any other day, spend a little more, just a little more. Right, you will get the inshallah the barakah of the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the benefit of the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So, for example, if you make a 2-course meal every day or 1-course meal every day, so make it a 2-course. If you're having a 2-course meal, make it a 3-course meal. If you don't have a dessert normally, make a dessert on the day. Right? Just a special spend a bit more. Right? Now, it doesn't mean you have to make a meal, a special meal. It means that you, the husband, the father, has to, or should spend more than what he normally spends. So you're going to buy groceries. Right? Spend a bit more for a meal, or buy something extra for the house. Maybe the house needed the new something light or kettle or something. Buy it on this day, then it will be counted as you're spending on your family. And so now the question arises. So, I'm working during the week, and it now Muharram fell on a Wednesday. But I'm working; I can't go out and go and buy things for my family. So okay, so I bought it a few days before. So Allah Ta'ala sees your intention that you couldn't go on this day, so you went a few days before, or a day or 2 or 3 days before, and you bought some extra things, and you made intention, Ya Allah, this is for the 10th of Muharram. So Allah Ta'ala will see your niyat, and inshallah you will be rewarded for, and you'll get the benefit of spending on the 10th of Muharram. So this is the significance of the 10th of Muharram. So spending on your family, right? Not to go out of your way to go spend and go incur debts upon yourself, not to exchange gifts on this day. Like we said, it now become a custom, and now people they think it to be a must, and you have to do it. And then all the family gets together on the 10th of Muharram to have a meal. And this is, and then they understand this, no, it's part of Sunnah, it's part of Sharia. And so we must not take out hadith out of context. If a hadith applies to a certain occasion, then we must apply to that. If we apply to some other occasion, then we're taking the hadith out of context, and then we are earning the curse of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to the effect that if a person attributes something to me, says that I said something and I did not say it, then he must make his abode in Jahannam. So do we want our place to be made in Jahannam? No. Another thing comes to mind about dates. A Friday, Jumu'ah. And this thing of Jumu'ah Mubarak, sending Jumu'ah Mubarak messages every week, is not also, it's also not part of the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Sahaba didn't do it. The Tabi'in didn't do it. The Tabi Tabi'in didn't do it. And none of our ulama, our pious ulama, our predecessors didn't do it. Our Kabirin didn't do it. So why have we invented these things? You must see the origin of these things. Sometimes these things originate from the Shias. And some messages I see that they even quote there at the bottom, they have Ali radiallahu anhu. And so now we must know that this comes from Shias. Most probably it comes from Shias. So we are being caught into this web of consumerism and the Shia web. So we must ascertain, find out from our righteous ulama, that what is the haqiqat, what is the reality of these practices? Can I be practicing these things? Can I do this? And you know, it's strange that when it comes to something medical, then we are very careful. But when it comes to matters of Sharia, then we use our own discretion, and we use our own brain to say, no, this it's not a bad thing. I mean, it's not, what harm does it cause? It doesn't cause any harm. I'm giving gifts to my family. Oh, so I can't give gifts to my family anymore. Oh, so you're telling me I can't give gifts to my family. Nobody said that. Do it on the right occasion. Don't do it on a day that you think you should be giving, and with the intention that, no, you are getting a reward on this day because you are giving gifts to each other on a 10th of Muharram. We must understand that our Sharia is not thumbstuck by the ulama. The Mawlanas don't wake up and they say, okay, now they're going to change the Masala Lagusia. And unless they are like the ulama of Bani Israel, or the Rabbaniyin, the rabbis and the popes, and that they change the Sharia at their will, and whenever it suits them, they take out and they put in and chop out whatever suits their pocket and their lifestyle. So we must not become like that. Whatever Allah Ta'ala says, we must do. Whatever Nabi Sallam says, we must do. Whatever they say, we must abstain from. That is the Sharia. So, for example, if you get cut, and it's a deep wound, now, will you go on to Google and see now, oh, how do I stitch a wound? Somebody else got a wound, a deep wound, and you say, no, wait, just hold on. Don't go to the doctor now. Hey, you're going to waste some money, man. Don't call the ambulance. I saw something on Google, how to stitch, and look at the diagram there. Say, oh, you must do like this here. Person will say, you're mad. I'm going to die. I'm going to bleed out. Take me to the hospital. And so similarly, when something arises in the Sharia, then we want to use our own thinking. We don't want to consult with the ulama and ask them what am I doing? Is it according to Sunnah? Is it according to Sharia? But we are very quick to criticize the ulama. Yeah, this ulama, this maulana, they are too strict. You know, these people here, everything is haram. Everything is haram. Hey, if something is haram, it's haram. We're going to say it's haram. We're not going to say it's halal. And Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, they don't make haram what is halal upon you. And so, and also don't make haram, the halal what is haram, and don't make haram what is halal. So what is haram stays haram, what is halal stays halal. And so, when we are not sure of something, consult to the ulama, the righteous ulama, and then stick to that. Now we say, no, but this Maulana, he does like this. We must understand that the actions of the ulama are not subut, they are not proof of the Sharia. If a Maulana, certain alim does something, or certain mufti does something, doesn't mean now it becomes permissible. And then when we tell the people that this year is permissible or that's not permissible, then they say, oh, these Maulis again is starting. Everything becomes haram. We don't make anything haram, we don't make anything halal. We didn't write the textbooks. Whatever Allah Ta'ala says, whatever Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, that is what we do and what we say. And if we say something which is incorrect, then if you come to us with proof to say that this year is what you're saying is incorrect, then we will have a look at it and we'll say, okay, this is your proof, okay, this is our proof, and then we can take it from there. But what everybody does, then we also want to do and we want to follow because it seems exciting, it seems very glamorous, and if we don't do it, what people will say? Other people will say, oh, they didn't send us a Muharram gift, but we send them a Muharram gift. These people are so stingy, yeah? And now they think they're too pious. Now they don't send us anymore. So don't worry about what the people say. This is worry what Allah says and what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says. That is the most important thing. That is our salvation lies in that. So, gee, inshallah.
Gee.
Anything else?
Gee, Mufti Saab. Gee, pertinent points that we need to consider here. And I was just thinking now, in fact, I was searching for something, and Mufti Saab was speaking about these Shias and their propaganda. So you find on their websites, it says 78 ways. That's not, in fact, it's not even their websites. You get these pin interest, or I don't know what's it called. So they got 78 ways to mourn the in Muharram. And this is not targeting adults. This is all for children, targeting them. So amongst these things, one of the things that they say also is that Qiyamah will come on the 10th of Muharram. So we say, yes, Qiyamah will come on a Jummah because that's mentioned in Hadith of Muslim, وَلَا تَقُومُ سَاعَةُ إِلَّا فِي يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ. But where they say that it's on the 10th of Muharram, then we say that the Quran Sharif is there, Surah Al-Hajj, verse 55, Allah says, "Hatta ta'tiyahu sa'atu baghtata," that baghtatan, suddenly it will come. So all of this, I just see how much effort they are making. And the key thing here is, for me, myself, and what I've gathered in this few days especially, is that they're making so much of effort on batil. We have the truth, and we are sitting just not utilizing our intelligence, our efforts in the right direction. Yes, there is all the major ulama who are doing this. But this morning I heard it, that in countries like the UAE, there's no concern about Muharram. Muharram will come, nobody will know it's Muharram. And they said, from the top to the bottom, the top is the CEO, the bottom is the cleaning. Nobody knows, and they're all Muslim, but there's no concern. Nobody speaks about it unless you really in contact with someone from another country and they tell you it's Muharram, then, and these are so-called Muslim countries. So the highlight there was to say that in South Africa, alhamdulillah, we have this. And often a person will say, okay, but like just now before Mufti Saab came on, I played Mufti Siraj Desai's clip about Muharram and this also. So people will feel that, why so much information all of a sudden? But if we just have to think about it, when the West, they want to push down our throats what they need to push down, you'll see it repetition, and our Muslims won't mind to read it over and over again also. It's fine. But when it comes to Islam, these pertinent points which we need to be reminded of, we say, but we heard it before, we know it from last time. But always there's some new listener, or there's someone who was uneducated about it, and there they learn something new. So alhamdulillah, we appreciate this. Any last points, Mufti Saab?
Yeah. Well, somebody sent me some quotation the other day. It was a durood. They asked if it's correct, if we can practice upon it. So it's a durood upon Nabi Sassam and upon Imam Mahdi. But I said, no, that sounds like some Shia thing. So anything you see there coming on your WhatsApp messages there, on your social media, saying that you must read this durood in Muharram, first of Muharram, or you must do this action in the first of Muharram, this is not, isn't part of the Sharia. So we should leave it out. And what Nabi Sassam said about regarding the 10th of Muharram, the person who fasts on the 10th of Muharram, you know, one day before, one day after, it is hoped that Allah Ta'ala will forgive the previous year's sins. So that is why we also fast on the 10th of Muharram. So anything else, and then there's lots of du'as. People say you must recite on the first of Muharram. And so make du'a on the first of Muharram, but I didn't come across anything which is from the hadith of Nabi, so maybe from the Akabirin, it's certain to us. But this is our new year, but we don't celebrate it like the Kufar celebrate. We should think now 1 year closer to the grave, I'm coming, and my grave is calling me. So what did I do in the past year? Let me make tawbah for the sins of my previous year, and let me make resolution that, Ya Allah, I will be a better Muslim in the coming year. So this is some of the lessons we can take, inshallah.
Appreciate your time, Mufti Sahib. Make dua for us as well. And inshallah, we'll meet you soon again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.